Well, you're listening to Cross the Border, and we've been going through the Acts of the Apostles, a record we have penned by our good friend Luke, who finally caught up to Paul and his troop and did a little traveling with them, and he continues his chronicle here for us. Let's see, where did we leave off? I have chapter 17, oh yes, where they had taken Jason, and he put up bail. So when they had taken security of Jason, chapter 17, verse 9, and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So they sent Paul and Silas out because of the trouble that had arisen there with the authorities and the false accusations. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whither those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. And so you see what was going on here is they had proselytes to the Hebrew faith of those around the Roman Empire, where they would put, you know, build synagogues in the cities of Rome. And there were people of the heathen nation, so to speak, who would come to the faith of Israel, because there was a remnant in Israel that were really preaching the word of God and doing what was required, you know, even bringing in the stranger among them and converting them over to the faith, that faith that was before the Messiah came, looking forward to the Messiah. And so those that followed the faith, believing in the redemption of mankind according to the promise of the Redeemer of mankind, looking forward in the faith of the people of God. So therefore many of them believed, also honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And these are called what the scripture calls busybodies, not minding their own business. They got to go into a neighboring city and track these people down. It kind of reminds me of some of the persecutors of the day going to every state, tracking down believers in our Heavenly Father, righteous people, to persecute their families and put them into prison and cause all kinds of trouble. Now, see, they're still around today. They were around then, they're around today. And immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they conducted Paul and brought him to Athens, and received a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed. They departed. Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in every market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest?" Now, Areopagus, it means Rock of Ares, a place in Athens. And this is where they had set up a lot of their idols and had, you know, their temples, the Areopagus. And they wanted to know the new doctrine. He said, "Whereof thou speakest? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." So you had these, you know, religious people. These are the people that hung about the temples and wanted to know all of the mythology and about all of the gods and learn all these things. You know these people. And so they bring Paul and say, oh, we want to know about your God too. You know, this is a new one. This is a strange one we haven't known about. These are the philosophers and those that are studying into mythology and looking into all these things. So therefore, what do these things mean for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing? And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. And, you know, I could just say, you are very religious. Yes, in all things you are very religious. And as I passed by, I beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, and declare I unto you. God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitations. That's quite a statement there by Paul, and one that needs a little bit of time spent with it. He has made of one blood all nations of men. There's no room for racism in Messiah. And he has set the times and the bounds for their habitations, not we. For those that, there are many that hold to the theory of the seed line of Cain. Well, you know, the flood does away with that, because Cain didn't, in his seed line, did not make it through the flood. And they hold that that seed line of Cain is the black people. And that's the mark that was put on Cain, that he was now a black man. But that flies in the face of the statement. And plus, it doesn't make it through the flood. But then they'll go and they'll say, well, it was a local flood. And they'll join the people like those that try to mix evolution and creation together, claiming a gap theory, or that each day was a million years or 1,000 years or whatever. But all of those things go against the scripture. The scripture doesn't back it up. As a matter of fact, it belies all those things. But here we see that all men, he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Well, we know from the creation, from Adam and Eve, that there was a point where that every man died. Every man, woman, and child died of all men, except for the 8 that went on the ark. Noah was perfect in his generations, meaning that he was the seed of the Messiah. It was allowable for the seed of the Messiah to come through him, that he was perfect in his generations. And of course, we know that that seed came through Shem and the Shemites, from which the word Semites is derived. And of course, in those families that came from Noah, we know that the whole earth was populated, and that everyone on earth is the same color. We're just different shades of the same color people. You take a little bit of the top layer of skin off, and you find out very quickly that we're all the same color underneath the top layer of skin, underneath that top epidermal layer of skin. We have different shades and textures of hair, and different size and shapes to our face, you know, different characteristics from the families that we descended from going back. And of course, when you segregate certain people, certain characteristics become dominant in those areas of the earth where those people intermingle, and a nation is developed, and they breed among themselves separate from the rest of the world. So we have the different peoples of the earth, and the different colors and the different textures of hair that are seem to be specific to different areas of the earth. But we know that our Heavenly Father put all of those characteristics into the first man and woman. They were all there. The genetic code is very complex, and the variations were all there in the beginning, and they developed through time, and then, like I said, through the flood. It was not a local flood, because, you know, then the Heavenly Father, who Noah found favor in his sight, so, you know, this whole local flood thing, well, that's just, it's hilarious. It's funny. It's comical, because the thing is, you know, Noah found favor in the sight of God, so he flooded only his neighborhood and made him build a boat. You know, that's hilarious. He could have just told Noah to move instead of just flooding him. So it's like I said, it's comical, but it's not funny that a lot of people believe that so that they can hold on to their racism and say that, anyway, enough of that. So we hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth. So there, all of your racists that hate anyone that's not your color or your ethnos, no matter what color you are, bronze, copper, red, white, yellow, black, brown, pink, you know, freckled, whatever your whatever skin tone and shades and colors your the Heavenly Father has given you, it may anger you to hear that you share blood with everyone else on the face of the earth because we are all of one blood. Get over it and get around it and accept the truth of the statement here that he hath made of one blood all nations of men. And I would dare say that the word there is ethnos in the Greek, the same word translated Gentiles. He hath, and that includes, yes, the Hebrew nation too. Every nation's all. All means all. That's all means. There you go. You heard it again. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So yes, he set up the nations, he separated us, and I think it's a beautiful thing. And the Babylonian thing where they tried to make the whole earth one and the Heavenly Father put an end to the first one world government as it was forming there in Babylon, of course, then he used that idea to punish Israel. He brought one world government back. And we call it the times of the Gentiles, depicted by that image. And we see how, starting from the head, moving down that image, how the nations, the one world government, has developed and morphed and changed over time to where we have it today. And we have all the one world government we're going to have right now until the Messiah comes. Then we will have the perfect one world government, truly. How it should be done. The Messiah is going to give us a lesson as he establishes his government with us who are going to be resurrected, who are going to join him. And of course, there will be mortals in the earth from the scripture. We find out that there will be people being born at that time. And you can read all about that or stick around and we'll get to some more of that eventually. That which we have not already covered in our previous studies. So do take advantage of my previous studies there at my website, crosstheborder.org. And Paul continues, he's just speaking of all nations, all men, and over all the earth, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. Do you haply, you know, Do you feel like you need to seek him? Are you after him? Well, I say there's nothing more important. That's why I'm sitting here, in case someone might hear and haply might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And here he affirms the statement, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then, as we are the offspring of God, and I could bring up the statement there where it says in the Gospel according to John, that he is the light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. You live by him. Without him, you don't live. Those of you that hate him, sorry. He gives you your life, the light that is in you, the light that the power, the very power is from him. He lighteth every man that comes into the world. You could not live without him. Atheists, skeptics, unbelievers, you could not move. He gives you the very energy, the light that keeps you alive, the very power of your life, the very vibration that lights the entire world. You can't escape it. You can't escape him. He's not there because you blind yourself to him and you don't want to see him. And why don't you want to see him? Because you love wickedness. You love unrighteousness. You love your adultery. You love your sin. And you don't want to admit it. Oh, just repent. The kingdom is at hand. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then, and remember they're poets, he's talking to these guys that, these philosophers, these guys that are into mythology and studying every new thing that they can. Forasmuch then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or some graven by art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they had heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and some others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from them, from among them, howbeit certain men cleaved unto him and believed, among which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was in some craft, he abode with them, and wrought for by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So these people that Paul came upon, they were in the same profession or craft that he had practiced, and that was tent making. So it fit right in there. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Yahshua, Jesus, was the Messiah. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed thence, and entered into a certain house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house had joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And we're going to pick up here in chapter 18 and verse 8 of the Acts of the Apostles next time on Cross the Border. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.